Oh, am I excited about this one?
About what?
You'll see.
Okay. Of
My IPA I have.
course. Welcome to Beerfield, where for the third week in a row, I forgot to fix the camera. I am your host at Beerfield Op, Chris Hopper with two P's, joined by Dan Thury, Ryan Miner. Gentlemen, how are you?
We are
busy, busy, busy.
Totally a professional show.
Yes.
Don't let anyone tell you differently.
But what's that in Anchorman, where he's like, where are my legs? Like my arms over here is gone, but then my mic shows up, and then it's gone.
I actually don't know.
There it is. Now my shoulder's back.
All right, let me rephrase. I do know what I need to do. I just hesitate to do it because every time I restart OBS, my graphics card drivers go insane, and I'm not entirely sure why. Man, I just don't feel like dealing with it. So, you know,
nope.
When the computer decides to reboot itself, the next time it updates, you'll get to see our pretty faces. Until then, sorry. So we got the latest news to go through, and then we are going to hit a six-pack of Smash or Pass. I've got descriptions written up for six NFL players. Dan and Ryan are going to decide, based on the information I give them, whether they will smash or pass. More on that here in a little bit, but first, we're drinking.
What's fueling beer fueled?
All right, Dan, we'll save you for last since you got cool stuff. Ryan, we'll start with you since you got an IPA again.
You know, I hate pint glasses because they don't really hold pints. I don't know why they just call them a 12-ounce glass. When I have a pint can in my hand and it's still a quarter full. But on the bright side of this, I am drinking Sheboygan Brewing Company Oatmeal Cookie Stout.
Ooh.
Ooh, it wasn't a...
Oh,
Ryan averted expectation.
Also,
with Ryan, who's this guy?
Also, this show and Oatmeal Cookie Stouts have a history.
Yeah.
Christopher. The most drunk I've ever been on this podcast, I tried to do a dad's Oatmeal Cookie Stout from O'Fallon and couldn't even say the damn beer name.
It was Hopper's best week of predicting who was going to go off.
I remember that episode.
It was after
a historic episode.
A trivia night, and I was hammered.
It was like it was like an hour and a half at a message.
Yeah.
I can like hide behind the
studio audience. You could. It's so dark.
So that's your story. Are we all doing dark beer for the first time? Mine is dark as well. All right, cool. All right, I got some Heavy Riff Brewing Company on Vanilla Coffee Underbrown. So you cannot always get the Vanilla Coffee Underbrown. I was listening to they actually had Jared from Heavy Riff on the Stubborn German podcast last week, and I was listening to him talk about this beer. So I didn't realize that this kind of bucks the trends of traditional brown ale. It's more of a stout, just with not enough malt to be, you know, super roasty. So didn't know that, but it's basically a scaled back sweet stout that they just kind of call a brown. It's closer to that than it is a traditional like American or English brown, which I never knew. I always knew that the brown ales were pretty velvety smooth though. So this is their standard velvet underbrown, but they add vanilla and coffee to it. So yeah, more on that soon. Dan, what do you got?
All right, so. Because I totally forgot to grab beer in the market I was at today working. I had to go deep into the beer fridge and grab something that I totally forgot I have. I have Ballast Point.
Oh, wow.
Victory at Sea. This is the barrel age Victory at Sea. You can't read it. This is High West 2018.
I was going to say, the last time I saw that, I think, was before I moved.
Yeah, this is old. I got this as a gift from one of my old beer regulars when I worked for Benny's. So Victory C is an imperial porter with coffee and vanilla, and they age it in High West bourbon and rye barrels. That's why they call it the High West, and it's obviously 2018. So we got a beer that's about 5 or 6 years old. Just, depends when they bottled it. I don't know how long they age it for. I would assume 6 to 8 months is pretty standard, maybe longer. This is a pretty sought after. Like at this time, this beer was very sought after. Ballast Point used to be out here in the Midwest, out here in Illinois. By about the COVID time, I think it's when they decided to reduce their distribution. I think I haven't seen Ballast Point in a while. So, but I was shocked again. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll do this. So, I will let you guys know how a beer that has been aged either in a cold cellar basement before me, or it's been stuck in my beer fridge right next to me for the last 6 years.
Interested to hear how the vanilla's held up.
I yeah, one's held up a lot better than the other.
Yeah.
I will say that.
News.
All right, we'll start it off on the sad note. So what should have been a celebration and generally was they got to the end of it, but Chiefs Super Bowl parade, there was a mass shooting, one dead, multiple injured. Many, many reports coming out. Gunmen are all in custody. They're still learning motives. Sounds like it started from a dispute. Lot of things to unpack here. The good news is that most of those injured, particularly from a kid's perspective, are expected to make a full recovery. So that's good. That's kind of a silver lining. The good of humanity comes out in the bad of humanity. There are videos of citizens tackling one of the suspected shooters to pin him down. Plenty of reports of Chiefs players helping to calm kids down, giving them the title belts, helping to aid people, hiding with them in closets, helping keep children calm. Jackson Mahomes, involved in that report on him, helping to keep kids calm for all the hate he gets for, I guess, enjoying himself. As annoying as he is, Gen Zers or whatever. I mean, that's it's a good of humanity coming out on that side of it, but very, very sad situation there. I've been to the Super Bowl parade, or not Super Bowl parades, World Series ones, biggest sports celebration in the world. I was at that one. Police presence everywhere, and those are such a feeling of euphoria and a pure feeling of joy to be part of the community and celebrate as one and have those differences aside and connect to the team and everything. And for it to end like that is heartbreaking. I was visibly upset reading the news and reading, how the visibly touched how the players jumped in and helped and handled this. So I'll leave it there.
And it was shitty what people like reposted on X too to try to get like a click, like that at Josh underscore ADHD. Has anyone seen Plaxico Burress? Like, really, dude, come on.
I've had him blocked.
Don't be a douche canoe.
I've had him blocked for years.
I don't
Probably
follow
some
him.
in the yeah, no, I yeah, I know he does some stuff for Scott Fish, which is what got him kind of big, but yeah, it's pretty sickening what people will do. And it's really, really sad that it takes these type of moments in history, which to help kind of bring people together in terms of support and wanting to solve a what would I would think would be a very easy issue to solve. I won't say easy, but a very wanting issue to solve. Something I learned yesterday, which grows numb to the problems that we've had the last, I don't know, decade or so, is that there's been 47 mass shootings in 2024, and we've only been in 2024 for 46 days.
February 15th.
Yeah. And that is
Month and a half.
and I've only heard of one, and that was unfortunately the one we heard yesterday. That's that's where we're at now, where we don't even report 99% of what's happening. So,
yeah,
I know we get political in here every now and then. This has been debated to death, whatever your views are. I'm just tired of senseless gun violence and kids being caught in the crosshairs and in the crossfires. And I'll just leave it at that.
No decent human is going to disagree with that. I think there's a lot of argument to be had around how you solve it, and it is had a lot.
Yeah.
But I think.
Oh, and shout out to the Chiefs fans that helped tackle.
Yes.
One of the gunmen. I hope the organization, hope the city, take care of them. You know, they had him on, I think, in an interview, and it was, they're also very, obviously still very wound up even after the fact. So shout out to them.
Yep. All right. Yeah, real sad. Moving on. I threw some things we wouldn't normally talk about in here, just like NFL headline type stuff, just because it's the off season and news is slow. So cameras picked up Travis Kelce and Andy Reid involved in a little spirited discussion on the sideline. There's a lot that's been made of this. Everything from, oh my God, is he abusive to Taylor, to, I've seen a lot of shit said about Travis Kelce, and they addressed it on New Heights. And I think generally Travis knows that he crossed a line, but same time, like,
Andy Reid also laughed it off.
They both laughed it off.
Like, winning was nothing.
Winning helps a lot of things, but as far as shouting, like, I don't know about y'all. Me and my boss have a great relationship, and that means we yell at each other sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes I think your emotions are good, positive and a negative way.
I think it was just shoving for people. Like, it's hard to know if it was really a shove or was an aggressive grab.
According to Travis, and from what I saw in the video, kind of lines up with this. He ran up to get up like close to him, and his arm kind of hit him. And Reid said he's like, he just caught me off balance. Like, he didn't shove me, he didn't push me, or anything like that. He caught me off balance, and it seems like he just came in hot, and there might have been a little bit of incidental contact there, but he didn't extend his arms and shove him or anything.
There was no OPI in this at all.
Yeah.
No.
Me, you gotta
extend, no extending of the elbow.
You gotta extend your arms for it to be a shove or like actually body somebody. And the most contact I saw, it looked like his forearm just caught him.
No, where I watched it, there was a lot of outrage. And I know a lot of people are going to say, hey, you know, you got to keep yourself. You got to try to compose yourself. This is
true.
You know, the game was close. This is not a time to start getting to that way. My response is, and I kept this to myself, is have you never been a part of a hyper-competitive moment where you have two individuals who are considered top tier at their craft?
And have been together
on a different page. Yeah.
And have been together the entirety of Kelce's career.
It's one of those scenes where it's always going to look bad, especially when you slow it down, especially when you give context and you already have a selection of people that are already pissed off at Travis Kelce in general and in Swift. And it's just, it looks bad. And, you know, I'm glad that they, you know, talked about it and just cleared it up. It's just, I've been there. I think we've all been there. Ryan, I'm sure you have, you know, with sports and at some point I've been there with customers. I've been there with people I've shown it. I understand completely where it comes from. You're just very, very heated and you're very passionate about wanting to make a change and be better.
With coaching, for sure. I mean, like, I've screamed at kids plenty of times, and it's not like, you know, abusive screaming. It's just like, you know, trying to get the point out. And where Travis, when I was out of line, I don't think he was really out of line. He was just, that's just the way they are. You know, he's aggressive. He's not playing just to be there. He's playing there. He's playing to win, and he's pissed because, you know, they're not winning. And if he would get the ball or something like that, it's a whole, you know, it's not scripted, but it's just like your mentality is give me the fucking ball, you know, and that's how he is. Like, and it showed in the second half, you know, that aggressiveness came out in the second half and he finished with 9 for 93. So,
yeah,
it was like you are literally in the biggest moment of this season. Like, this is the encapsulation of it all. Like, emotions, both good or bad. And I think they would have laughed it off had they lost.
I think so too. And,
and
Jason put it best. They both have a tendency to wear their emotions on their sleeves in the heat of a competitive moment. And the cameras caught it, and it sounded like from what Travis and Andy both said, it sounded like it was a lot of, you know, I want to be on the field and help my team win. That was right after Pacheco fumbled. Kelsey wasn't on the field when that happened. You know, it was, I should be out there fighting with my guys. And that was the gist of it. And, you know, look, you can have those spirited discussions with people that you respect, that you're close to, that you have open and honest dialogue with. And that just so happened to happen in a very public way. You know, did it cross some lines? Could it have been handled better? Sure. Heat of the moment, I don't see anybody that's played in the NFL batting an eye at this other than saying, yeah, maybe a little over the top, but not totally out of line.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. This is a preseason game.
Yep.
Maybe a little different, but it's fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah, and, you know,
it's not an excuse, but still.
Like you mentioned, elite talent, too. If this is a special teams tight end, it's totally different. But
yeah, I would say maybe be a better run blocker, Travis, and you'll be out on running plays.
Yep.
Just kidding.
And the other big story coming out of the Super Bowl is the 49ers not knowing the overtime rules.
I mean, there's two now. This one's probably a little bigger than the move they made today, but
yeah, we'll get there. I got that later. Yeah. But
yeah,
not knowing the overtime rules. So, with the new format for overtime, this is a direct result of the Chiefs Bills game a couple years back. Both teams get the chance to possess the football now. So, doesn't matter what you do as a team that has the ball first, the other team's going to get a chance to match. If they do, awesome. Then you go to sudden death. If you don't, I think it's sudden death.
Yeah, see, we're all confused on overtime rules.
It's both teams get a possession,
mm-hmm.
and then after both teams have a possession, it's first score. It's first score. Yeah.
So, yeah. Death,
yes.
Yeah.
So it's two quarters of football, basically.
Very simple.
Yeah. And
it's not first score because like everyone was like screaming at the TV, like we were all screaming at the TV. It's like 2 seconds
team,
left.
Each team has to have a possession. So if the Niners would have threw a pick six, game's over, because they lost their possession and then the Chiefs scored, thus game ending. So each team gets a chance to have the ball in their hands.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't make sense because it said if they got a safety, the game's over. But then say if a pick six was
because it's
a game
pick
over.
Six, because a pick six wouldn't end the game. The Chiefs would still have to score after that. Oh, it's pick six. Yeah.
Pick six.
Chiefs scored.
Yes.
Yeah. Aces. So on a pick six, that would end the game because the Niners had their possession. The Chiefs picked it off and scored.
Save the safety. Safety should be the end of the game because that would be the end of the
possession.
Game. To change the possession. Yes.
But yeah.
It's the touchdown thing that threw people off.
It is.
Because that changed a decade ago or whatever it's been.
Yeah. Well, it's been a couple
it's
years.
Been a long, it's been a long time since that rule changed.
The regular season one, the touchdown versus field goal one, but the playoff rules have only been in place since 2021, I think, 2022.
The double touchdown part, that's new, but the field goal on the first possession, the touchdown, or the, never mind, sorry.
So anyway, it comes out of this, though, and it sounds like there are two schools of thought. I guess the analytics departments for both teams said something different. The 49ers, according to Shanahan, he was playing for the third possession.
Yes.
Because, and I could see that where analytics says the most likely outcome of either drive is a field goal. And then you're playing for the next field goal, right?
Yep.
The way that game had gone, as low scoring as it had been, that is probably the most likely outcome. But the Chiefs were the mindset of, we want the ball second, so we know exactly what we have to do and have a chance to go in the damn thing.
They basically have four downs guaranteed.
Yep, and they're even on record of saying we would have went for two. We wouldn't have.
Yeah,
we wouldn't have tried to tie it.
Where do you guys land on this? What would you do?
Would I have kicked or would I receive? Is that what you're talking? Asking?
Do you want the ball first or not?
If I'm all right. So in San Francisco defense,
it's the
I would
Super Bowl.
I'd want the ball because my defense is already gassed. You know, they're just coming off the field. I don't want to put them back on the field right now. I want to give them a breather. I want the ball in that case.
Hopper?
I think I'm also going to side with San Francisco on this, which is probably why I'm not a coach.
Damn, I thought that would be different.
But I think I think that, like I said, the most likely outcome of either drive is a field goal, right? So now if you're the Chiefs, I get it. The Chiefs said it's never, you control it. The Chiefs said it was never going to go to three. We were either going to lose because they're going four downs regardless. So they basically said we were either going to lose or we weren't going to tie it. We were going
to
lose.
So it's a lot easier to say that when you don't have to live the moment. I'm not saying they're not right. I'm just saying it's a lot easier to say that
it
now.
Is, because you tell me that if they got another 57-yard chance of Butker on like a fourth and 14, they're not trying to pick it up. They're kicking it.
Right. Yeah. I went through, guys, in way that the defense was being played that game. It was I was sweating the under. Thank fucking God I hit all my bets, but sweating the under through OT. Thank God they didn't kick the extra point. I would have also received it. Like, people mocking San Francisco for getting the ball first clearly didn't watch the game then, because that had multiple possessions written all over it. Now, what I really would have loved to have seen is that San Francisco would have scored on that first possession to see if they would have reacted as if they won the Super Bowl. Because there were some players that legitimately thought
it would have been
that touchdown would have ended it.
Yeah.
And I would have fucking loved to have seen that.
Now, that part to me is inexcusable. Like, they should have talked straight.
That is absolutely
that part is inexcusable.
Because, especially after the Chiefs said that they had practiced literally the 2 weeks, every single day going through, like, you guys have to understand what this overtime rules were if we get to that point, which happened. But, yeah, I was kind of hoping they would have scored just to see the false reaction.
It would have been pretty.
It would have been great. We're running the field. Just kidding.
Would have been pretty funny. All right. And then last thing coming out of actual Super Bowl Sunday, I feel terrible for Dre Greenlaw.
Absolutely.
Popped an Achilles jogging onto the field.
This is
you telling me that wasn't scripted?
Who was the Arizona kicker that tore their ACL after a celebration? And then he had the Bears linebacker. It was they were brothers. They both played kicker, but like
Was it Neil Rackers?
No. The last name, I'm gonna know when you say the last name. One was a more famous, like, they were both kickers.
Martin Gramatica.
There you go. Yeah. It was the other one.
Bill Gramatica.
Yeah, okay. Yep. It felt like him and then the Bears linebacker that tore his ACL after.
That was...
down 40. Yeah.
Lamar Houston.
That was like a fourth quarter. Yes.
Yeah, Lamar Houston.
But you should never celebrate it. Don't celebrate
it.
They were also
trailing by 25 at the time.
Yeah. It was mocked because of his celebration, but then he also hurt himself afterwards. But
yeah.
This is bad, though, because he was just excited to get back on the field because they just made a big stop. And, I'm gutted. That sucks. He's also in a very good, very good player.
Crazy.
All right. Moving on through some other things, more normal stuff. Bears released Eddie Jackson, Cody Whitehair, saving themselves $21 million. Both holdovers from the Ryan Pace regime. They've been with the Bears for 7 and 8 seasons. Jackson looked really promising early on in his career and then kind of tailed off. For a guy that was termed as a ball hawk, you know, he's had 3 seasons of one or fewer interceptions, right? And some injury issues. So
he's also heavily focused on the Food Network.
What?
He's also heavily focused on the Food Network.
I don't understand that reference.
Like, he's constantly doing stuff on the Food Network.
Eddie Jackson is?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Yep. He's done all, like, he, like, I'm pretty sure has, like, he hosts a show. It's obviously all stuff in the offseason, but. Unless there's another Eddie Jackson who looks very, very similar to the Bears safety Eddie Jackson, then I'm going to feel very stupid, but.
There is.
There is.
Eddie Paul Jackson is an American.
There are two different Eddie Jacksons.
Football cornerback. Yeah. There are two different Eddie Jacksons.
Oh, my God.
He is a former football player. He played for the Panthers, the Dolphins, the Patriots, and the Redskins.
Okay. At least. Not I thought he was still playing.
He's 42, not the same Eddie Jackson.
Nope, not even close. That's crazy.
They don't even look.
He's only got me by a couple of years.
So, anyway.
Just kidding, guys.
Just kidding. So, $21 million more in cap space for the Bears. Already had a ton of it. Seahawks informed Geno Smith he's going to remain on the roster, fully guaranteeing his $12.1 million salary. Would have been $17 million in dead cap to cut him, so that makes sense.
Yep.
Commanders have hired David Blau as their quarterback's coach. Sounds like David Blau trying to go the route of Kellen Moore here and fail as a backup quarterback, but take the steps to the coaching tree.
Purdy's a very smart guy, so makes sense.
Blau.
Blau.
49ers have fired. This is the other thing Dan was mentioning earlier. 49ers scapegoated defensive coordinator Steve Wilks, which made no damn sense to me.
There's been a lot of discourse on this, and a lot of pointing fingers on both sides of whose fault.
Well, I guess
I feel bad
Shanahan,
for Wilks. It sounds like he's got the short end of the stick. It sounded like he got scapegoated for, you know, for a game that he held the Chiefs offense to
19
no
points.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, the league's best offense also didn't score any points. So it's not Shanahan's fault for not doing his job, but it's all right.
Nope. And whatever. He changed some of Wilkes' play calls later in the game, and it sounds like there was just discourse between the two, and Wilkes is gone and will be highly sought after. And I don't know if there are open DC positions right now, but somebody could get fired. Like, that's the level that he had the Niners defense at, where
it's a top five defense this year, isn't it?
Yeah.
They were a good squad.
That coming available, you could see a team jump on that and fire a DC.
This is like when Jim Harbaugh got canned from San Francisco, too.
Yes.
To help save face for Jed York when he was the GM there. If I know that he was kind of like, he was brought in because he was only there for 1 year. He was brought in to kind of do whatever Kyle Shanahan said. It always felt like he was handicapped to what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he would not really be praised when they do well, but he would be the guy that they would yell at when he didn't. Obviously, Bosa came out and said that there were some things that they weren't prepared for, and it was all being shaded towards Wilkes. And yeah, I'm glad hopefully he goes to a spot that actually wants him and not just wants to, you know, do whatever. So
and when the Jets fire Robert Sala next season, he can go back to San Francisco. Chargers hired Mark Trestman as a senior offensive assistant. Just because
they're going to run the football so fucking much this year. They're going to be they're going to bring back Eckler and then just throw him all the ball.
Yep.
Because although draft like Will Shipley or some shit like that, there you go. It's a bona fide receiver running back.
Bengals released Adrian McCarron, this allowing him to sign with the St. Louis Battlehawks of the UFL, going back to the spring team. Chiefs extended Steve Spagnuolo, well deserved.
Yep.
Matt Corral going to the UFL's Birmingham Stallions.
Huh.
Steelers and Mitch Trubisky mutually agreed to part ways, and the Seahawks are hiring former University of Washington offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb. That's it for news.
Sweet.
All right, so as we run through some of these other segments in the offseason, I'm not making new drops anymore, but because it's our last run, I'm just going to start finding random drops for things that
fuck yeah,
I forgot about or we haven't used in a while. So
bring back the oldness. I love it.
This is going to be a smash or pass. This might be kind of apropos.
Beer goggles.
It feels so 90s. 90s house.
All right.
Early house. Yeah.
Here's how this is going to go. Six players. I will read the blurb I have on them. You're free to ask me any additional questions. that do not pertain to the team that they play for or that would identify the player. If you pick up on it, that's fine. But you're not allowed to ask me any, like, team, former team information, anything like that to help identify. You're simply trying to make a decision on whether you would smash or pass. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Player one, and the positions will be obvious based on the stats I have in here. So player one, I was second in the league in passing yards and fourth in passing touchdowns. Third and first down conversion success, but I was 12th, or sorry, also, I was 12th in money throws, but 11th in interceptable passes. My 6.7 air yards per attempt suggests room for regression. However, being third in the league in drop passes may balance this out. I've also appeared in a Super Bowl.
You say he's also appeared in a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay.
Pretty sure I know what this says.
Yeah, me too. Are we supposed to say, like, state our name? Like, yeah.
No. Smash or pass?
Smash
or pass, whoever if you want.
Smash, because I know who it is, because I've heard the stat already.
Okay.
Wow, Ryan. God.
Wow. Dan?
I will also smash.
All right, who you got?
My homeboy Jared Goff.
That who you thought it was, Dan?
Yeah, it was either him or Purdy. Maybe yeah. One of my two.
Yep, it is Jared Goff. All right. Kind of get the dress now. Let's warm up. Y'all ready for player two?
Yep.
It's just hard to believe that he was second in passing yards, too, because, like, when they were saying he was just behind
it's hard to believe.
Yards.
Yeah.
Well, no, like, he was behind Tua in passing yards. I was like, holy
crap.
I
thought for a second it could have been Tua for a second. But then,
he led the league.
But then you said he's been in a Super Bowl. I'm like, well, not Tua then.
And they were real similar in interception rate and stuff, too. Like, Goff and Tua were basically the same quarterback this year.
Yeah.
Yep. They pretty much were.
All right. Player two. I threw for 4,000 yards, but only a 3.7% touchdown rate. My interception rate was 2.5% as well. I was tied with Derek Carr in total QBR, which isn't exactly a good thing. However, my team was second in pace of play, sixth in pass plays per game, and I was fifth in air yards with a great deep ball accuracy, rating top 10 in the league. So there's room for improvement, but based on the team's offense, my play was exceedingly subpar. I'm not exactly making a good argument for smashing here.
I think. What was his rushing production?
Let me pull it up. Hopefully you can't tell from my key presses where we're going at here. No, go away, Ad.
Yeah.
All right.
It sounds like a long team name.
Rushing production was 70 attempts, 339 yards, and 4 touchdowns.
Okay.
So was this team a playoff team?
They were not a playoff team.
Okay. Now I'm screwed. Ooh.
Yeah.
I
thought
thinking
one
of
way because it was very skewed towards passing.
Yeah, I was thinking, you're probably thinking the same one that I was, Dan, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to pass on this person.
Ryan?
Yeah, I'm passing too, because who I thought it was going to be is not who I thought it is. That's why it's about the playoffs. I was
Ryan,
like, all right, if it's
Ryan,
this guy.
Who'd you think it was?
Baker Mayfield.
I thought it was Lamar.
Hmm. It would have been totally unfair for me to skew, although it would be something
yes,
I would
yes.
do. I'm not.
It would be. That's why
I'm from you. I'm not trying to do
if
that.
If I
here.
Thought it was Baker, I would have smashed the shit out of it. But I didn't think it was Baker.
And Baker was close in a lot of statistics. It's generational talent, Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I have soured off on him pretty heavily. I won't say heavily. Sorry, I have. I'm lukewarm. That is starting to turn sour.
The offense, I didn't realize how good the Jaguars' offensive pace and everything was and how bad he performed in it. Because that pace of play and those team stats for pass attempts and everything is like, that's like gold mine for quarterback productivity.
That's why I was so hyped. because during Peter's time with Wentz, you know, and Philly was, you know, top 10. It very felt like this is Lawrence's wheelhouse to play higher pace. I think he did the same thing with Clemson too. It just, it could obviously still work. He's only played for 3 years, but
still,
and he got hurt. I'm still like,
yeah,
the numbers that, God, that 21 class, my fucking God,
bad.
So heartbreaking how bad it's been.
Yep.
Hurt so good.
It's the bad hurt.
Yes.
The bad touch.
It's like heartburn.
You.
No, an acid can take care of.
Yeah. Hums isn't helping this.
Yeah. Lawrence and Mayfield were close in a lot of things, by the way, but I think Baker was.
Obviously, expectation was.
Expectations
different.
Are totally different. Baker's touchdown rate was a lot higher too. It was closer to 5%, even though the overall passing yards and stuff were the same. His interception rate was a lot lower as well. It was at 1.8. So,
elite game manager. Let's do it.
Completion percent, overall passing numbers, and rushing productivity, I think. Yeah. And rushing productivity were relatively similar, but the percentages as far as scoring and turnovers and everything were heavily skewed.
Yeah. For a half thought, I thought maybe it was Sam Howell, but then you told me the interception rate, and I'm like, oh, it can't be Sam Howell then.
Yeah, Sam Howell.
That's why I was thinking of Baker Mayfield, because he like turned it around after being like, you know, such an interception guy.
I thought Baker had more yards, but then I knew he had a higher touchdown rate. So
Jesus, Sam Howell had a 3.5%er, 21 picks.
Fucking bad. His sack rate's also extremely high. Howell was basically who we all thought he was going to be. Yeah. Just oof.
Howell was 3/4 of Jameis Winston. He was 21 for 21.
Wannabe Jameis.
2/3, however you want to look at it.
Not everyone can be Jameis.
Not everyone can be Jameis. There is no 20 for 20, but there will be a 30 for 30 for Jameis.
All right. Only running back of the bunch. You all ready?
Okay. Yep.
Despite playing in only 13 games, I had 1,200 scrimmage yards, and 1,000 of those were in the run game. I was targeted a career low 33 times, but maintained a catch rate above 80%. My 9 total touchdowns isn't elite, but it's nothing to sneeze at. I was top 10 in juke rate, evaded tackles, breakaway runs, and yards after contact per attempt. I have a history of injuries despite generally solid to good on-field play.
A career low in targets. Hopper knows my style of running back.
Is that because the career low targets was due to injuries this year?
Not due to. So the, how can I put this? The target volume was not, he still would have been, it wouldn't have been a career low had he played a full season. It wouldn't have been a career high either. It would have been closer to average.
I'm so going to pass.
His
reception? I don't know who it is. I have a, like, I got ideas.
I'll give you this stat, Ryan. He has a half reception per game lower than his career average. That pretty much sums it up right there. It's half a reception per game lower than his career average.
It sounds like he's
not generally known as a receiving back. His career high in targets, 71.
Ah,
that's respectable.
It was a sophomore season.
Yeah.
He was with another team prior to that, right?
Yep.
Okay. I think I know who it is. I'm a smash.
He's on a second team.
Right.
All right. Dan passing. Ryan, you nailed it.
Connor?
Yeah. James Connor. Okay, career year in a lot of ways for Connor. Career high in yards on the ground. Obviously, I believe those juke and broken tackle states and breakaway run stats to be career highs. But so I said, solid to good whenever he's
aged,
on the
field. He's aged beautifully.
Yeah.
Well, when you said 71 targets, I had him on my fantasy team that year. I was like, oh, I remember that year.
I tried it. There's a lot of dynasty leagues that I was trying to trade him. I'll try to trade for him during my champ runs if I needed a back, like anything. I like Connor. I love the story. I still think he's almost always a value. He's still going to be a value this year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, especially now.
Is it?
I'll still say what I said, but.
He's at three straight seasons of 1,000 scrimmage yards. So
yeah. In his first season over 1,000 rushing. So good. Yeah.
It was hard for me to find a running back that was under the radar enough for me to put something out there that was divisive.
He's a true definition of under the radar. Yeah. I was listening to a show today, and his ADP in best ball right now is 25.
Wow.
It's RB 25. RB 25.
That's low.
He's going to be sealed this year.
Yeah. It's hard to be upset about that. So.
All right. Let's see. You guys want to do beer review now, or do you want to hit the last three and then do it? I've got about a quarter left.
I mean, I'm about.
You're drinking a bomber of a stout. You're fine.
I mean, it's still a 12 ounce. It's not a bomber, but it's also, I mean, it's a BA, so it's going to be heavier. I think this is lighter than, 12%.
Well,
on the small end, but it's still 12%.
Let's just do it now. Break it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Beer review.
All right, Ryan, why don't you go first?
So I had Sheboygan Brewing Company Oatmeal Stout. Comes in a solid 6.5%, and let me tell you, it's definitely not like that. Very smooth, very light. But I love the way the label says on it. This is actually a limited release. It says, just how your grandma made them, but in a beer. This stout is baked to perfection using dark malts for added color and richness, along with flaked oats for a soft mouthful. Oh, mouthfeel, I'm sorry. And nutty goodness.
Give you a soft mouthfeel and nutty goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please do.
I thought of your sex tape.
Good. I thought of our sex tapes. I love it. But yeah. Well, definitely. I mean, it definitely does taste like an oatmeal cookie. I can't lie about it. Now I can see why you can get hammered on these because they're very smooth. It definitely tastes more of the oatmeal at the very beginning, but on the back, I just taste more of the back end stout, the nuttiness. So, very light, very, very stouty.
All right. I'm drinking Heavy Rip Brewing Company's, out of St. Louis, Missouri, by the way. I didn't think I said that earlier. Their vanilla coffee under brown. So, American brown ale with coffee beans and other natural flavors. Smells like a sweet stout on the nose. There's a little bit of coffee undertones. Vanilla really jumps out of the glass at you. Medium full body, decently creamy. Really, 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 really silky. Good chocolate backbone to it. The coffee comes out just a bit above it. It doesn't go into astringent or bitter or anything like that. But it's more of like the impression of coffee, if you will. It's like a nice cream down coffee, like if you put vanilla creamer in it, essentially, but in ale form. So your vanilla is the star of this one. It holds everything up nicely, but the blend, the balance, this is one of my favorite beers. First time I had this was a woe experience, so it's really easy to drink given that it's not overly bitter or heavy or anything like that, but it's definitely like kind of got a desserty feel because of the chocolatiness from the brown, the vanilla that's there, and then just a little bit of coffee also. It's like a good late night espresso drink.
I remember when I was working for Benny's and the Heavy rep came in with the rep that they're with out here, you know, for the first time and having, they brought the vanilla and one of the best and I haven't had it in a while, but oh, I remember drinking like a 4-pack almost instantly. It's so good.
I hadn't seen it in a couple of years. So
Yeah.
I mean, if I'd gone out to, that river is really wide. I don't go to St. Louis as much as you think, but
I probably should go more than I do.
All right, Dan.
Either here or there. All right, so
how did it hold up?
Very good. We're drinking Ballast Point I forgot where they're from. Bell's. They're from San Diego, California. That's what I thought. So Ballast Point on San Diego, California. This is a Victory at Sea. This is the High West 2018 barrel age. Virgin of it, aged in High West bourbon and rye barrels. Imperial porter with coffee and vanilla. The vanilla shines through more than the coffee's basically gone. So when you first get it out of, so when I first took it out of my cooler, obviously it's going to be a lot colder than the 40 degree temp. Not 40, but 45, 50 degree temp that it would warm up to. There's zero coffee and some hints of vanilla. And then as it's warmed up, the vanilla is pretty much has gone and you get very, very faint hints of coffee. Now, for those of you who don't know, obviously when you adjunct a beer over time, that's the first flavor. Those are the first flavors that tend to go. Even if it's barrel age, even though you want to get excited and drink these beers when they get older, adjunct beers of anything, they'll lose those flavors over time. And obviously, that'll vary based on storage, bottling or canning, and then just overall, quality of the beer itself. I was excited that it's very drinkable. It has not soy sauced itself out of it. So a bit sour of any sorts. It's still milk chocolatey, just given it being with rye barrels and it being an imperial porter. So there's going to be a lot of chocolate malt added already to it. And just with rye barrels tend to bring out more of a milky chocolate more than I think a bourbon barrel would do. I think it still drinks fucking incredible. So I wish I can just get the just a straight up version of this without adjuncts. But this is after about 5 to 6 years, this tastes exceptionally well, even though the adjuncts have fallen off pretty much.
That's very amazing.
Good. Yeah. I forgot that there was adjuncts in it, but I would drink it without it. I think it drinks fucking perfect. So,
and the adjuncts falling off is completely expected for those not familiar with
especially aging. After this amount of time, you should not expect
any.
But like I said, some of the temperature as it warmed up, you got to get some faints of it, but you get a lot of the milk chocolate, so you can still get some of the vanilla in there. Hopper had to run. Yeah,
so it's just us now. Yeah,
yeah. So I started my get more.
I need to get another beer. Priority,
obviously, very important.
Hopper's got a Munich Dunkel that he's trying to tap the keg on, yes. So I can put a Baltic Porter on tap.
I had a Dunkelweizen. I'm so, man. My local brewery here has a Dunkelweizen that I can't get enough of. It's so fucking good.
I got a smoked Dunkelweizen on tap that I'm pouring.
See, I think I would enjoy a smoked Dunkel. I mean, I like a lot of smoked beers, but I think a smoked Dunkel sounds amazing.
Well, let me dial the recipe in a little more, and then I'll share it with you. Yeah, there's some improvements that need to be made. I'm going to be trying to get rid of that keg at Ales for Tales at Four Hands on March 3rd.
Nice.
All right. Player number 4. You all ready? Got a couple wide receivers for you. I had 165 targets and 1,100 yards on the season, which is pretty. Target volume's elite. 1,100 yards in a 17 game season gets to be a little pedestrian. But not bad. 66.9% catch rate. My quarterback is considered elite, and my yardage totals were their worst since 2019, and my yards per reception were their worst since 2018. I failed to record a 100-yard game after week 6, caught no touchdowns after week 12, and I'm the wrong side of 30.
Smash. So, oh, I think I know what it is.
Started out incredibly hot this year and completely fell off at the end.
I'm smashed for redraft because of value, and I am a pass for dynasty.
All right.
I think I am too. It's the same person.
Yeah.
Ryan, you are an immediate smash.
I'm going Stephon Diggs.
It's Diggs, isn't it?
It's Diggs.
Yeah.
Diggs. As soon as he went downhill and didn't record a 100-yard game, I'm like, oh yeah, that's Diggs.
Yeah. I was like, he's going to be, there's a lot of people that are coming out of him for redraft. He's going to be a value, but
well,
it's a selling dynasty for me.
That's the thing. I want to look at it because it wouldn't load for me earlier. I want to try to look and see what's in the underlying data because the Problem with Diggs is that, I felt like his skill set would translate into at least his early 30s, but maybe not.
I mean, his target share was up there. It's just the yards never got there
Well,
with
that's what
it.
I'm saying. The target share was near elite, but some of the underlying stuff was terrible.
I think this is Buffalo's inability to draft his replacement. And now
Yeah.
you're trying to rely on a wide receiver who,
Yeah.
like,
13.
he's still an elite route runner. He just had a down year. And
He
Josh
did.
Allen wasn't as much as Josh Allen has been.
13th in
Like, he was
yak.
still, obviously, Allen's still amazing, but.
13th in yak. Eighth in unrealized air yards. He was. Let's
And
see.
dropped an easy touchdown too that he would have had and would have ended that streak many weeks ago.
77th in yards per reception, which you don't really love. 31st
Got
in
that
yards
2020
per out
season.
run. 46th in target separation. 96th in. Oh, cushion doesn't really matter. 10th in juke rate, 6th in drops. I mean, it's a very mixed bag, is what I'm getting out of this. 40th in contested catch.
I mean, he kicked ass last year, you know.
He's
14
kicked
one.
ass every year since he's been in Buffalo. It's
Yeah.
that people remember the end of the season because he was a top 10 receiver, I think, for most of the first
Oh, he
half.
was, and then
He
it completely fell
dominant.
off. Yeah.
And then Buffalo struggled to produce throwing because they, again, they don't have a number two at all. It's just Diggs. There's no real trust. And then obviously James Cook started to take off and Buffalo shifted towards winning the ball or winning games by running. And again, it's just, yes, there might be some issues to take from this, but I think it's more so that Diggs just had an off year and Allen just kind of, we got some more bad than good, I think, at times, but I will take the dip that will be in redraft form. I fully expect him to be undervalued through most of the early offseason, early to mid offseason until more casuals come in and you get name cachet for him.
Okay. All right. You ready for number five?
Yes, please.
All right, player number five. I went for 1,300 yards on just 105 targets. Very respectable 71% catch rate, astronomical 17.9 yards per reception. All career highs by a long shot. I had just two drops and respectable but not great contested catch rate and target separation numbers. So to give you an idea, that's usually wide receiver two range in those spots. I was 18th in yards after catch. I had a below 25% target share and was just 53rd in route runs. Essentially, you could call me highly efficient with more room for volume. Nine games of 15 or more fantasy points.
PPR fantasy points or just fantasy points in general?
Whatever player profiler uses, I think it's PPR.
I think PPR.
It's full point, yeah.
How many
And
targets do you have
it's 105.
again?
Turn that into
And how?
1,300 yards.
Yeah, it's who I thought it
Wow.
was. I am smashing so hard I'm hulking out.
Did you go look
He's
it up?
I had a
You had
very good
a
idea of who it
hunch and
was.
you
I had
had
a
a hunch
very
and went
high.
and
I had
verified.
a hunch and I had to verify because there were some stats. I'm like, well, maybe it wasn't that, but I would have smashed either way because I was pretty confident that who I thought I was, and I think you and I have talked about it. I think we talked about it
We
last
talked about it
episode.
last week.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I
I'm
like Allen.
dumbfounded right now, so I'm gonna
Are
pass.
you? You're gonna pass?
Yeah.
1,300 scrimmage yards, seven touchdowns. Brandon Ayuk.
Oh.
Now you can. Yeah,
Is he really gonna come back? Is he gonna? All right, so he has 1 year left on his
he
contract,
can't
and he said,
leave this year.
you can't leave.
"No, exactly."
But he should. If San Francisco lets him walk after this, they're fucking stupid.
You should let Debo walk. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Like
Yep.
Ayuk has to be the future of this receiving core. You can draft replacements for Debo and shit and bring some twos in, but
Yeah.
IU cast to be the
only
future.
25 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. 25 years old, good numbers, and he's overshadowed by it. If you give IU a chance to be a one, I think you'll be handsomely rewarded.
He is the one. He was the one this year. I don't like he played he operates more as the true traditional receiver than it
he does, but I want to see his target rate go up into that through one range and get him up in the 130, 140 target range and let him eat.
If only Shanahan really wanted to, target pamper one person. That's the only downside is that there's a lot of,
not that.
There's a lot of mouths
to
feed
the Super Bowl,
is my favorite cliche.
If you wanted to win the Super Bowl, he should have threw the ball to Brandon Ayuk more.
I mean, maybe Ayuk leaves.
Not Juwan Jennings.
He goes to a team that actually wants to throw him the football.
It could be.
The Oakland Raiders? Or the Las Vegas Raiders?
With what quarterback?
He can go to Kansas City and play with
Mahomes.
God, that'd be awesome.
Mahomes and Rice.
Run
that'd
it back.
Be amazing. Yeah.
Three-peat.
All right. Last one.
Last one.
All right.
Tight end.
Tight end.
Oh, gives the best ones.
Fifth in red zone targets and second in total touchdowns amongst tight ends. Totaled 700 plus receiving yards. Fourth in dominator rating while leading tight ends in contested catch rate despite a subpar passing game for at least part of the year. True catch rate was an astounding 100%, which I don't think I've ever seen before, even for a tight end, on that many targets at least. Despite these good underlying metrics, I had just 6.9 yards. That's wrong. It was 9.6 yards per reception. I was on the wrong keys when I typed that.
Yeah.
Just 9.6 yards per reception. And landed in the turbulent area for tight ends in fantasy football. Still just 24 years old, so prime breakout range for tight ends.
If it's who I think it is, then I am an absolute spash.
Okay.
Yeah, because once you said 24 years old, now I gotta rethink it, because I don't think.
I am pretty.
Oh, yeah. It's not him. He's too old.
Right. I didn't look this time.
I had to look for age. I had to verify the age. I'm like, I don't know how old half these people are.
He'll be 25 playing next season, but 24 as we
if
speak.
It's who I, especially if it's who I think it is, I'm glad I have him on my dynasty rosters right now because I'm feeling pretty fucking good.
All right, Dan's a smash. Ryan, you smash pass or want more info?
I want more info.
Okay, what do you want? We're just going to start reciting things.
Who is this quarterback? Just
nope.
Kidding.
That's too identifying. Not doing that.
Yes.
NFC or AFC?
NFC.
Yeah, I know. I should
okay.
be right.
Yeah, okay. All right. Smash. Dan goes first.
Cole Kmet.
Yes.
Oh, fuck. I thought it was McBride.
No. Once you said 24 years old, I was like, oh.
I thought I was young.
I was all over David Njoku at first. And then you said 24 years old. I'm like, oh, shit.
I
thought McBride's like 22, isn't he?
Your mic went out, Dan.
Yeah, I think it's back now.
Yeah, it is.
McBride's 23. He might be 22.
No, McBride's 24. Just
is he
24 and 85 days.
I just remember he had a shit ton of yards, but never had the touchdowns.
Yeah, he also had a lot of receptions, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's fine. I also think him as a
McBride actually
in dynasty. So
McBride actually had better numbers than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cole Kmet just had ugly games, but just got a touchdown like here and there.
Well,
Cole
like
Kmet,
you said, like he had
Cole
some bad
had
passes
to
start the season.
I'm like, an ugly offense to start the season.
Yeah,
he's been an ugly offense his whole career.
Yeah,
he had two touchdowns against Denver's stout defense back in Week 4. 85 yards and two touchdowns.
Everything else, yeah. It became stout, just not at that time.
But yeah, once that 24-year-old came in, I was like, oh, it's Njoku. Oh, nope, it's not. And then I was like, okay.
Njoku has been in the league for a bit longer than that.
Yeah. I just wasn't thinking age-wise.
Also, 6'6", 260 on Cole Kmet. Like,
his quarterback station can only get better.
Yeah.
So. And receiving core around him could get better.
Not
could you imagine Malik Nabers there in Chicago? I can, but I don't want to, but I can.
Be nice.
I'm interested to see if they go double offense. I don't know if they should.
go Caleb Williams and then Malik Nabers at the same
that
time.
That defense played really well down the stretch. I think that they definitely have a need for, let's see, they solidified
there's
the linebacking
some, dude,
core.
There's some edge rushers there that
they do need. Well, that's just it. They need another edge rusher, and that's where I think they
at nine is where they could you get one.
And
if they stay there. They have so many options to explore, especially if they decide to, you know, pick one. They're gonna trade Fields and
because that's where they really need help is the D line, the cornerback situation. If especially if they re-sign Jalen Johnson is fine. The linebacker situation is fine. They'll need to replace Eddie Jackson, but they've got cap space. That we'll look at free agents next week.
Yeah,
but they really need to get a pass. If they can get a pass rusher opposite Sweat.
And that's the first thing they should be looking for too. With if they're gonna, you know, I mean, we've preached, you know, built from the inside out. So,
yeah,
there, you know, there's a couple ones because it falls in line with what I've seen for for Minnesota. So I've seen a lot of familiar names that could also land with Chicago there at 9-2 if it's not going to be double offense or if they don't trade up and shit too. So
yeah, I mean, cornerback is more depth. That they need. They'll need to replace Eddie Jackson. They'll need to replace Whitehair, which ended up being depth end of the season. But I still think, even with Sweat, get another defensive end or outside linebacker, something. Get an edge rusher. Anyway, enough about the Bears draft. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that. I think we're done. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back next week. And I think next week we are actually doing pre-agent prep.
If I remember right. This would be fun.
Yeah.
Pre-agent primer.
A free agent primer with team needs next week. So get into that.
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to that one.
And then it's draft season.
I'm already in draft season.
Same here. I've started early for once.
Nice.
Me too. I got a whole bunch of mock
drafts. I'm actually behind the eight ball. I haven't started shit. So
I figured I'd try a little harder than I've done the last 2 years.
We're going to be opposite here, I think, Dan.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think we're opposite too, Dan, because I've only done one rookie profile this whole season so far.
I've started quarterback. That's all I've done.
Well,
so far.
You know that I'll get the hot names at least profile.
I'm also waiting for your watch list so I can also know where to stop because I don't.
No,
I'll watch what you watched.
Okay, I'll put it together.
The best parts. I'm not saying you have to. Sure, I'm just saying tonight. I'll know where I'll need to stop with certain players. Obviously, the big names we're going to watch regardless. But.
We'll watch the big names regardless, and then I'll do statistical analysis to see who I want to pick out of the deeper cuts. I don't like picking those guys till after the combine anyway. So
that's also true. Which we also have coming up soon too. I go like a running back.
No, go look at tight end.
Yeah, I'm sure it's outside of Bowers, and I think there's one other name. It's pretty
Sanders.
Wasteland, yeah.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, take care. See you all next week.
See ya.
Bye.